Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Joining me on today's show, LevoOil.com. Levo's CEO, founder, Chrissy Bellman, is joining me. Here's the deal. Like, if you know me, I don't know. I don't really talk about anything I do personally because I don't really do much other than this. But I don't know how to cook. Tavala found that out when David Rabby came on the show and made me a salmon. He changed my life, and now we have Tavala. I order like six Tavalas a week, which should tell you how poor a cook I am. My wife jokes that I eat like a child. I pretty much live on SpaghettiOs. I affectionately call them Paschettios because that's what I said when I was a kid. The idea of infusing oil and infusion in general is so complex in my mind. I can't. But I want to. I aspire to be a better person. I think we all do. I don't know if it's achievable. For me, I feel like it's probably not. I think people have turned the page on me already. But I still think there's hope. And so I get conversations with people, and I find products. As you can see, I like get a lot of pitches and stuff. But like, I find products that are unique, and I try to find products that are like something I would love to use. I don't know how to, but I want to. And so when I stumbled upon Levo, I was like, oh my God. So like, infusion. I loved infused water, cucumber infused water, fruit infused water. There was a kid on Shark Tank a couple years ago that I think the thing shit out, but like the idea was that you could make it easier to make water that tasted like fruit and make it less of a pain in the ass to make and clean. That gets me going. Like blending. I'm like on this never ending journey to find a blending option that doesn't make a fucking mess. Because I'm too lazy to have to cook and shop and clean. That's just way too much. So that's that. But infusion, I think, is a great idea. And I love the idea of having like restaurant quality taste and not have all the preservatives. And I would totally create, and I know my wife Jen does this with like salad dressings, like I would totally create oils and things that we could add to pasta. And things that we could add to salads and to, you know, salmon and meat and things we cook. But we don't, because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And Jen is expecting a baby. Well, we're both expecting. I'm an idiot. I just got in trouble. We're both expecting a baby, but Jen is doing all the heavy lifting. And I don't expect her to try to make all this food and clean it all up and such. And so when I saw Levo, I was like, oh my God, there's like actually a product out there. And apparently it's very out there. They're in like 1500 stores, that enables you to really easily create your own infused oil, your own infused, you know, flavors and things. And they're actually getting to the point where like you can inject it into the food and it has like IoT devices, but they keep it like kind of dumb as well. So that if you're like me, and you like talk about tech, but don't know how to actually use it, you can seem like you're fancy, but still know how to actually use the product. At any rate, Chrissy does a really good job kind of talking about the product and how she came onto it and why. But before we get to the conversation with Chrissy, I've got to do my startup inbox, which if you are a listener of the show, I want to tell you, you can submit a startup inbox as well by sending an email to hello@technori.com or just DMing me or Technori on all social platforms that are at Technori or at Catoon. This startup inbox is sponsored by our favorite CRM partner, marketing partner, ActiveCampaign. See why 65,000 businesses, including Technori, use ActiveCampaign for their marketing by signing up at activecampaign.com/Technori and get the first 2 months for free. All right, here's the question. Can you talk about the process of understanding the right VC to approach for growth stage raising of capital, how to connect with them? Okay, so Ronnie Wolf, good question. Ronnie Wolf, you should meet Ronnie Sage. You guys are Ronnies, and all Ronnies should know each other. This is a really interesting question. So like, it depends on the stage you're at for how much money you want to raise. I think there's a problem with particularly entrepreneurs that are in, you know, not experienced. The word VC gets thrown around a lot. Like VC is not an angel, is not a trader, is not a rich individual, is not a real estate investor. They could be all the same or they could be none of the above. A VC is a VC, a venture capitalist, someone who works for a venture firm, a venture fund, and they invest differently. if you're trying to raise 25 or 250 or half a million and you're going to do it in your pre-seed or seed stage round or extended seed, unless you're planning on giving up 10% of your company or thereabout, you're probably going to have to go the route of angels, and those are not the same thing as a venture fund necessarily. Angels can be part of a venture fund, but there's a difference. So my answer to you is first figure out how much you're trying to raise and why, and then figure out what you want with the money. Are you going to spend it on things? Do you need strategic advisory? Do you need strategic connections? Do you need support? Do you, you know, what is it that you need? Because if you've got a good thing, and I'm actually going to write a blog about this and put it on technori.com, so you can check that out probably in a couple weeks here. But I'm not very good at, like, I say I'm going to do this and then I don't. So Sam's going to hold me to this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to write a blog about this. But here's the deal. You ever notice that people who are really successful, like, are around other people who are really successful? It's like the legends mentor the mentees, the next comer, the incumbent. This is kind of one of those things. If you have a really good idea and you're a founder that seems like you're, you know, you've got your shit together, the venture capital guys will find you. The angels, the people who want to make money by investing in venture, they're going to find you. So you don't have to worry about that. You should focus on revenue, focus on creating value, focus on whatever you can focus on to get your business off in front of people. But what I would tell you is, before you approach or are approached by these people and you have a conversation, do your research and know what exactly makes them tick, how they make their money. Okay. That's the key. So with that said, I would highly recommend you understanding that not everyone's a VC. That's a good starting point. So let's move on to my interview with Chrissy and learn how I can be a better husband, soon to be better father, and a healthier individual by using her infusion tool, Levo. Like I said before, this is very conversational, and it's, you know, I am now married to a person who enjoys having, like, healthy food, and we're expecting our first child. And so, the expectation that I learn how to, like, make things and not things that are poisonous is starting to become, I guess I call it Pescetios. Spaghettios is my diet. And so she says I eat like a child. And I guess I was piqued to the interest of your company when I saw what you guys did. Partially because I literally have no fundamental understanding of like cooking and like how anything works. It's usually just a huge mess. And I rely on a company in Chicago called Tavala to basically supply all of our food. And so I kind of wanted to get kind of a rundown on you, like what exactly Levo does and why this is a big craze that people are getting in on, because you were like the third or fourth company or person that I have run into who is trying to solve a problem like this, but for a different thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely a thing that's happening.
So tell me a little bit more about Levo and sort of like, just like in ballpark, like what is the problem that exists?
Sure. So, We're trying to solve the problem of oil infusion in general. Old, like, traditional methods of doing it are, you know, either people putting herbs in a mason jar full of oil and letting it sit out, or putting things in a skillet, or loading a bunch of stuff in a crock pot. And all of these things lack temperature control. It's hard to control the environment, and they make a big mess. They might stink up your house. So anyway, we solve that mess and make it more convenient if you're going to do it, if you're someone who's already into that. And then also if you're buying pre-made products, they tend to have, solvents and other additives that are hidden and not so desirable. And they're also super expensive. So we're trying to make infusion a thing. And we're trying to make it more convenient by eliminating the mess and reducing the time it takes to do it, and maybe making it more economical for folks that are buying pre-made products.
So walk me through the process that Levo does, because, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, like, so I loved the, like, you go to like the spas and gyms and you get the water that has like cucumber, it has, you know, different kinds of fruit infusions in it. And I always wanted to do that on my own, but then as soon as I got home, it became like instantaneously more difficult than it was worth. And I can only imagine that with actual like cooking foods and oils and olive oils that is like infinitely more difficult. So how do you guys make this easier and more attainable?
our consumers, we have consumers that are all over the map, like all different types of demographics, all different types of use cases, from like homemade beauty care products to gourmet foods. What our core mission is sort of like some of the other companies that you've probably seen, like you mentioned at the beginning, is ingredient control. So folks who care about controlling their ingredients for a variety of reasons, and a lot of people buy the machine for different use cases. So making homemade medicinal products, holistic stuff, or just healthy gourmet food. This is something that's super common in restaurants. Like, a lot of sous chefs are doing this at major restaurants. Like, you can imagine the difference between a cake made with just canola oil, like the back of the Betty Crocker box might tell you, versus made with Tahitian vanilla-infused coconut oil. And that's how a lot of restaurants achieve, like, the flavor essence in a really awesome dish.
So I got to imagine, like, this is a good segue for kind of the scale question, because I look at this from a B2C standpoint, and I feel like there's no way you couldn't capitalize on sort of the essential oils craze that seems to be taking over my personal Instagram of people trying really hard to change their habits and change the way that they're feeding their family and cleaning and all this other stuff. So I feel like you can tap into that, but really, you know, to your point about the sous chef, I got to think, like, the best scale for you guys, or the best way to achieve scale for you guys, is to get in with restaurant groups and with, like, you know, chains and things like that. Is that correct? Or, like, what's your plan to scale this up?
Yeah, at the moment, we're really focused on, like, households and everyday people, so that they can bring that experience home, and they could replace pre-made products with DIY that's more convenient, because obviously the inconveniences of making a lot of things at home that you can make with Levo is the reason they're not doing it. So by shortening the time it takes and making it more convenient, more fun, and sharing content to make it easier, we think more households could be doing what the restaurants are doing or what the stores are selling. So that's our focus is really D2C and empowering people at home.
And I have to ask, what got you into this? Like, your background doesn't necessarily say I'm going to create the next infusion masterpiece. Like, what made you decide, you know, one, that you had the passion and interest in this, and then the other, that there's a scalable opportunity for you?
Sure. When I was in high school, I started to get more into natural foods and, like, controlling ingredients and just a general awareness, because I've always suffered from really terrible migraines. And I learned that, like, there were certain additives and certain things in foods that were, or even, like, certain things in cosmetics and fragrances and stuff in homes that were bothering me. So I had a propensity for all the crunchy things, starting there. And then when I was in college, I happened to witness, a bit of an infusion nightmare, with people making some medicinal foods, and they were stinking up an entire place, making a big mess. And I did some research and realized that oil infusion is what brings together homemade beauty and gourmet foods and restaurants. And I just got into the idea of making an invention for the generic oil infusion use case that covers so many different end products that people can make. And I got obsessed with it.
Very cool. What do you think are, like, the key pieces that you need to really get this right? Like, there are plenty of companies out there that I think have a great idea and understand the market, and in particular when the founder understands a problem because it was a problem they solved for themselves, there's sort of this unfair advantage of knowing problems that are going to arise before they become sort of a public, if you will. What are the things you got to get right to make this work?
A key part of the vision from the very beginning has been about education and content and creating a community. So, you know, I know that some of those are debatably buzzwords at this point, like if I use the word influencer.
Yeah.
But creating, like, an authentic sense of trust in consumers, even you mentioned essential oils and things, like, there's a lot of mystery to that kind of stuff. And I think this is no different. And I think Instant Pot is a great example of, you know, a product that has such a wide variety of use cases, and the plethora of content is what helps people, you know, really see the value. So that's what we want to do. We want to be a source of truth and a platform and a community for a lot of people that are using the machine, and provide as many resources as we can. I think that's 100% key, especially because it's such a new and novel device. There's definitely a learning curve and an education that needs to come with it. And once people have that, we see their usage and joy that they get out of the machine go way up.
I totally agree with you. I think it's, you know, the influencer thing and the conversations that we hear all the time around, I guess, buzzwords, doesn't make them not true, though, right? I mean, it's like, it doesn't, just because it's a common theme and people try to aspire to it, doesn't mean that it doesn't work. And the reality is, some of the best and cheapest marketing you're going to find is finding influencers who connect with an audience, who trust their opinion, right or wrong, and getting some people to use this product and to get it in front of the right people, I think, is a great test case as to whether or not it's a scalable idea, and it's, you know, that you can achieve a great business out of it, whether it's a singular product or it becomes a series of products. I think ultimately you just got to get it out there, but not just around you locally, but like get it out there via influencers and then capitalize on the feedback and just keep iterating until it becomes a product. Like Instapot, you know, the founder of Instapot, it wasn't the first thing that he'd created. Like, there are multiple sort of, if you will, iterations of Instapot that have existed throughout time, and it's just sort of like, oh, I wonder if I put a 7-in-1 together, if I could sell it right. And of course, the concept alone was like blew people's minds, and then it was just, you know, sort of off to the races from there. So I actually totally agree with you. Like, if the product is good and you iterate on it and make it, you know, something that people can easily use, easily clean, easily reuse and apply either this product or other versions of it for other stuff, I think that you really can simplify things down to like, what is the cost per click to get in front of people? And it can take off on its own, or it can lead to enough short volume that you can get inside of a Target or inside of, you know, a Bed Bath & Beyond or whatever. And then all of a sudden it's just like a product fight.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I very much operate on the idea that if you have to win a niche to be a mainstream product. And
no,
I
totally.
Think that's, you know, to date, that's where we've been focused, and we've had like amazing early adopter brand advocacy that took off really quickly in our pre-order campaign. And we've got a lot of champions like that. And I think that's been awesome. So we really pay homage to those folks and want to continue building that. And a lot of our platform is about users generating their own content as well. And feeling like they can share it with their close networks. We really want to empower these actual consumers and really help them help us build a community and a lot of content. Because that's our number one request from customers, is more content, actually. So, yeah, the authenticity is key today, I think.
No, I totally agree. I mean, I think you... I guess if you want to call it fortune, you have the fortune that your product and the market that you are trying to serve, but also the market that wants the product from you, tends to be, you know, somewhere between digital native and digital adopter to a degree that, you know, basically they are where they shop where you want to sell it, which is like a super fortunate situation that they say, I want more content, versus a lot of other startups and products out there that are just like trying to figure out, how can I reach my customer? Like, I know who uses this, but how do I reach them? You sort of have like the fortune of being able to say like, you just need to tell me how you use it, because I can definitely reach you. It's just how do I use this?
Yeah. Our second generation product that we just released in November is an IoT product. So we are, you know, really looking for our customers' feedback to help us adapt the tools and how we leverage that. And that'll be a really cool journey for us that we're, you know, early on now.
I'm excited to see more and learn more about the IoT piece of this, because it's like we've sort of, as a society and as a tech world, we've sort of ducked up and above and under the water of IoT. It's sort of like we're in it, and then we're out, we're in, we're out. And it's like, I feel like, you know, it's a combination of we've got plenty of data points to collect, but we don't really necessarily, or at least up until now, haven't really had the ability to apply the knowledge of the data to make life easier for people. And so I'm excited to see sort of what I call like the micro or the niche IoT products that sort of are that last mile, that, speaking of buzzwords, that last mile of the cooking process, where it's like, oh, I literally, like, you can make the final product better without me having to do some of the things that I used to have to do, which were ultimately the things that I didn't know how to do or didn't want to do, which is why I never cooked this or I never made this or whatever the case may be. It's interesting to me, where you'll go with that. 'Cause like, I look at a couple of companies that we've talked to recently, like a company called Avi, which basically is like sensors in Tupperware so that you can just put the stuff away and in the fridge. And then it sort of tells you like, you should eat this box first because it's the closest to expiration. And it's like little things that I don't know that on a surface that that's a great product that people will use. But then if you start to pump it into recipes and apps that will tell you that you should, you know, what am I preparing for dinner? What am I shopping for? These are the things that are expiring. Here's the things you have that are good that could be mixed together to make this great meal. And then you start adding in pieces and tools like yours that can make the meal even more refined and more commercial tasting, if you will. And it's, I think that we're like just starting to turn the corner on being able to really use what we know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we're very conscious of not doing anything just to be a Me Too product.
Yep.
And like, you know, IoT can sometimes be a checkbox and you're not necessarily solving a real problem for people. This is another great area where like early adopter customers and our early brand advocates that are really communicative can really help us with feedback. Because we don't know what we don't know. And I'm very conscious to that end of never making something that's, you know, we have, like I mentioned earlier, we have such a wide demographic of users. Like if our machine suddenly had zero buttons and you could only control it through the app, there'd be a lot of folks that would really struggle with that. And that wouldn't resonate with them. So we try to keep things nostalgic. Like our second generation is also like only retro colors and it has tactile buttons and it always will. You know, we want to keep it so that it's agnostic and you don't always have to use it. But for the folks who do use it, it's got powerful tools. Like you said, you know, I was just at Home and Housewares in Chicago relatively recently, and I saw a lot of IoT products. Like I saw the one you just mentioned and others. And I totally agree that you have to really take the technology and apply it towards a real everyday problem to get it somewhere. So for us right now, that's a lot of recipe and like logging, because a lot of people want to repeat and make something over and over again and establish consistency. That's sort of the benefit of pre-made products, whereas the con is all the additives and the unknown ingredients and the high price point. So trying to help people establish like consistency in their batches by logging all of their usage and making it extremely easy for them to like label and add notes and add pictures, maybe share it if they like, and access a bunch of other resources to know what the optimal time and temperature is for whatever they want to make in the machine. So we want to build it out, and we need feedback from people. But very conscious of keeping it nostalgic and not too mysterious, and not losing a certain part of our demographic by having it be, you know, only controlled with the app or something too extreme.
Fortunately, the Facebook groups out there have no problem contributing feedback on new products.
Yeah, we just started that actually, and that's been a great way to communicate with people. Yeah.
It's honestly like some of the best companies. I reference Tavala a lot just because it's different and new, and it's like a different take on food delivery. And you look at Tavala has actually self-identified problems that they have already experienced on their own. Like, we know that the product is not perfect, that, you know, maybe we'll never be. We just try really hard to aspire, but it's not, you know, attainable necessarily. They self-identify product problems and then like let people comment and be like, yeah, I have this problem, you know, and then it helps them, you know, one, it helps them get ahead. People are less likely to like completely shit on the company if they feel like the company is aware. As long as the company's making headways. And I think the Facebook group for you guys and other, it's not just Facebook, there's other places, even a Slack channel, is a really helpful way for you to sort of like build engagement that's not garbage and like actually get ideas from people and see how they like it and then let them start share. Like once you share what you think the great opportunities are and what the things you need to work on are, you start finding people who start sharing the use case that they're using your product for and then the different weird ways that they've figured out a way to pin this into their life. And then they start sharing with one another and then you have ideas and then, you know, it's a self-fulfilling thing. So I think you're onto the right track with that. It's a great idea. I love the product. I aspire to be a good enough cook at some point in my life that I can actually take advantage of anything that's not water mixed in powdered bowl of noodles and maybe have a healthy family. So where do people go to get the product and learn more about it and join these groups?
Sure. Our website's levooil, levooil.com. And we're in over 1,500 stores. And our store map is on our website. So I think that's a great place to start.
Awesome. This has been a lot of fun to talk to you and learn more about the business. Congratulations, obviously, on the success and continued success. We look forward to having you back on again to talk about the IoT and the new products as they come out.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me, Scott.
Of course. Absolutely. You can catch this episode of More at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and Spotify. Stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori. You can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.